Kripaya, by being merciful to all other living entities. Bhutajam, because of other living entities. Dukam, suffering. Daivam, sufferings imposed by providence. Jaya, one should give up. Samadhina, by trance or meditation. Atmajam, sufferings due to the body and mind. Yoga biryena, by practicing hatha yoga. Pranayam, and so forth. Nidram, sleeping. Sattva nishevaya, by developing brahminical qualifications or the mode of goodness. Translation: by good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation and trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. Translation, please repeat. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation and trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By practice, one should avoid eating in such a way that other living entities will be disturbed and suffer. Since I suffer when pinched or killed by others, I should not attempt to pinch or kill any other living entity. People do not know that because of killing innocent animals, they themselves will have to suffer severe reactions from material nature. Any country where people indulge in unnecessary killing of animals will have to suffer from wars and pestilence imposed by material nature. Comparing one's own suffering to the sufferings of others, one should be kind to all living entities. One cannot avoid the sufferings inflicted by providence, and therefore, when suffering comes, one should fully absorb oneself in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One can avoid sufferings from the body and mind by practicing mystic hatha yoga. Kripaya bhutaram dukkam daivam jayat samadina atmajam yoga biryena nidram sattva nishevaya. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation and trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Svapadandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padambujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So sometimes it's described that in this material world, there's three types of miseries. It's described in different ways, but sometimes it's described threefold miseries of material existence. And one of those miseries is those caused by other living entities. Just like when we go to Mayapur at Gorpurnima time, so many mosquitoes are coming and bothering us. So many living entities bother us. And similarly, we have so many, somehow, though we try to live peacefully in this world, somehow we always get so many enemies. Even though we don't have any enemy, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj has no enemy, still people made enmity with him. So those miseries caused by other living beings. Then those miseries caused by providence. Here it said providence, but in the description of the threefold misery, those caused by the devas. Just like now in Hawaii, one big volcano is erupting like anything. People have lost their houses that they worked hard their whole life to build, and now it's completely consumed by a big flow of lava. There's so many miseries by providence. Earthquakes are there, volcanoes are there, hurricanes are there, typhoons are there. These are miseries caused by by providence or devas. Adi Daivik, we call Adi Daivik klesh. And similarly, then Adiatmik klesh, those miseries simply caused by the nature of this body and mind. We see this body, somehow or other, he's always getting sick. In fact, we call it Rog Kamandir. It is the disease temple. Always suffering from some sort of disease. Mind also suffering. Every time we give class, somebody asks always, how can we control the mind? Always disturbing. So this is Adi Atmika. Misery is just of this, caused by this body. So here this very interesting verse is saying, what is that? By good behavior and freedom from envy, one can conquer sufferings due to other living beings. And in the purport, here it says, Adi, the miseries caused by providence can be overcome by meditating in mystic trance. Here Prabhupada says, nobody can stop the miseries of providence. It's like earthquake is coming or this big volcano is erupting in Hawaii. Nobody's there who can stop it. Even our Trump, although he's very proud, he cannot stop the volcano. But one, by meditating in trance, so many things are going on, but by meditating in trance, then we can overcome these miseries. Just like sometimes They're always predicting in Los Angeles a big earthquake's going to come, Los Angeles is going to sink into the ocean. So they asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, it can happen, but we will simply sit together and chant Hare Krishna. Because if we're all together chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And half of California falls into the ocean, we'll all go back to Godhead. And similarly, here it says, by practicing Hatha Yoga, one can overcome the miseries of this body. Just like now, this has become very popular. All over the world, there's dozens and dozens of yoga schools, all teaching this Hatha Yoga. But not for any spiritual purpose, just for this purpose here is the saying, and actually it's a fact, even Prabhupada recommended that one can become very healthy by practicing Hatha Yoga. But that is not our goal, to become healthy. Because even if you become healthy, it's not that you will not going to die. Just like one time Prabhupada was in Boston, he was staying in New York, but he visited Boston. So there's one fellow who was coming to the temple every day, and he was bothering the devotees that you should learn Hatha Yoga, it's very good for the health, this, that, whatever. He was always, every time he come to Bhagavatam class, and he would ask question, why don't you teach yoga, this, that, this, that. So Prabhupada came there. So then Prabhupada went in the morning walk, and this boy was there in the morning walk. So then he was just telling, Swamiji, you should teach your disciples Hatha Yoga, they can become very healthy. He was just like a little mosquito. Prabhupada was walking very peacefully, chanting his japa. This little mosquito, you have to teach him yoga, you have to teach him yoga, you have to teach him. Finally, Prabhupada stopped. And somehow or other, I also had that experience. That when you see Prabhupada, he seems so big. He always seems so big. But when you see him beside Brahmananda or any other devotee, then you see actually small. Prabhupada had this huge presence. But beside any other person, then he became very small. So Prabhupada pointed his cane at Brahmananda, and he said, if I tell him, he will kill you. So Brahmananda got ready. If I tell him, he will kill you. And he will do it if I say. Then what will your yoga do for you? Then what will your yoga do for you? See, even my godbrother, Nanda Kumar, he was Prabhupada's servant sometime, and he used to practice Hatha Yoga. See, even Prabhupada told him that is very good for health. Because Prabhupada saw him one day, he was sitting in the backyard of the house where Prabhupada was staying, and he was doing different asanas. And Prabhupada said, oh, you are practicing yoga? He said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, it is very good for health. But of course, health is not our goal. Our goal is to become surrender to Krishna. And here it says that we can conquer sleep by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating. Because we know, everybody has experience after Sunday feast, after eating so much prasadam, much more than required, then what does one do? He goes up to the Brahmacharya ashram and begins to chant the Zed mantra. You know Zed mantra? So if we want to conquer over sleep, then we have to develop the mode of goodness, especially in regards to eating. Because by overeating, then all the other senses, Prabhupada said, the tongue, the belly and genital, they're in a straight line. So if we try to satisfy the tongue too much, then the belly becomes full, it puts pressure on the genital, then we become sexually agitated. So we want to develop the mode of goodness. So we have to control the eating somehow or another. Fortunately, we see as we grow older, it becomes harder to eat, overeat. Prabhupada told there's two mistakes in eating. One is overeating and one is undereating. He said, when I was a young boy, if he will overeat, that will not be a mistake, that will be very, very good. But if he will undereat, that will be a big mistake. And Prabhupada said, when you're an old man like me, if you overeat, that will be a big mistake. And if you undereat, that will be very, very good. So now we're finding, we cannot, in the old days we could eat so much. We would Sunday feast, we'd eat everything on our plate. Whatever was left on anyone else's plate, whatever was left in the pot. But nowadays we cannot do like that anymore. But anyway, one controls his eating, then gradually he develops the mode of goodness. And then he can live, be very peaceful in this world. So here it explains by good behavior. Because behavior is very, very important. It's like one time somebody asked Prabhupada, how can you recognize the Vaishnava? He said, Vaishnava will be a perfect gentleman. So this good behavior is very, very important. In fact, there's a nice story about this in Mahabharata. There's one section called Yaksha Prashna. Questions by the Yaksha. Because the Pandavas, they were here in Kamyavan. They were in a nearby forest, and one rishi was crying that a deer had sniffing around his ashram, and somehow his arni sticks for starting his fire got caught in the antlers of the deer, and the deer fled away. So the Pandavas, being very pious, they immediately said they would help this rishi, so they began pursuing that deer, but he was running. He finally entered into Kamyavan, way in the western side of Braj, western petal of Braj is Kamyavan. And they could not find that deer. But they had been chasing for a long time, and just like we see now, it's very hot, especially Kamyavan side is even hotter. So they were very, very thirsty. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he asked one of the two younger brothers, Nakul or Sahadev, I can't remember which one, that you climb a tree and see if you can see any water nearby. So he climbed up the tree. He said, I don't see water, but I see those types of trees that grow where there's usually water present. There's some types of trees they like to grow, only they will only grow where there's water. Just like on top of Barsana Hill, you'll find trees that grow where there's no water. Because on top of the hill, all the water will run down to the plain. On top of the hill, there'll be no water. But we see these beautiful trees on the back of Barsana. This is called Gevarvan. This is a special type of tree called Dau. This Dau tree, he grows where there's no water. So he saw those types of trees that grow where there's water. So he told Bhim, you go there, and bring some water. So Bhim went there, he saw this crystal clear, cool water. Just like we can still remember when we first came to Vrindavan in 1974. Jamuna water was so clear and cool. And it was the sweetest water. We used to just go under the water and go... It was so wonderful water. Now we see that water, we're afraid to even take bath. But it was... So he saw water, so crystal clear water. Just like 2 weeks ago we were in Bangalore, so we went to Sri Rangapatan, one place is nearby, where Ramanujacharya stayed for some time. And they have a Sri Rangam temple there also. And just nearby the Kaveri River is flowing. So we took bath, crystal clear, we were so envious. You could see right to the bottom. You could see everything, crystal clear water, and so nice. We just sat there in the water for a long time. So like that, he saw pure crystal clear water. So without even, just now you'll see how strong the senses are. These are Pandavas, they're friends of Krishna, they're very powerful. But even without thinking about his brothers, he wanted to drink that water himself. He'll take some, but he wanted first to let me drink. So then one voice said, don't drink this water, answer my questions first. And Bhim thought, I am the mighty armed Bhim, Vrikodara. Who's going to stop me from drinking this water? He drank that water and he died. So when Bhim didn't come back, then Yudhishthira said, Arjun, find out what's the matter. Why he's taking so long? His senses are so agitated. Even Yudhishthira, go find out why he's taking so long for water. So Arjuna went there, even though he saw his brother dead, he just looked at this water. The senses are so strong. If we see our brother dead, immediately we'll go, what happened? But he was just thinking to drink water. And again the voice said, don't drink this water, answer my questions first, then you can drink. I am the mighty archer, Dhanudar, Arjuna, who's going to stop me from drinking? He drank the water and he died. So then he sent either Nakul or Sahadev, I can't remember which one he sent first. The same thing happened to him, then same thing happened to Sahadev. So then finally Yudhishthira Maharaj came himself. We know he's Dharmaraj. He's the most pious king. Even he saw his brothers dead. Still he was thinking, senses are so strong. And we don't have any chance. These were talking about the Pandavas. What is our position? We have to very, very carefully chant the holy name of Krishna with great ecstasy. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Just call out to Krishna, please help us control us. Even these Pandavas can't control. What is our position? And he went down to drink, and the voice again said the same thing. But Yudhishthira, he's a little more calm than the other Pandavas. He said, all right, I'll answer your questions, but how can I talk to a voice? You take some form. So he took the form of a yaksha. Now somebody always asks, what is a yaksha? I don't know. But anyway, he took the form of a yaksha, whatever it is, and sat on top of a tree. And we know the most famous question that Prabhupada was always quoting again and again, Kim Ashcharyam? What is the most surprising thing in this world? And Yudhishthira Maharaj answered, Ahani ahani bhutani gacchante yamalayam chesham stavaram icchanti kim ashcharyam atakparam. Ahani ahani bhutani, unlimited amounts of living entities. Gacchante, they've gone where? Yamalayam, to the Yamalai, the place of Yamaraj. Everybody's gone. Ahani ahani bhutani. Bhutani means living being. All living beings are going. Shesham, but those who remain. Shesh means to remain. Those who are remaining. Stavaram. Stavaram means to remain. Fixed. They're thinking, no, 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 I'm not going. Stavaram icchanti. They're thinking, no, no, I'm not going. Everybody else is gone. My grandfather is gone. Great grandfather is gone. Father is gone. Mother is gone. Auntie is gone. Uncle is gone. I'm not going. Kim is charged him. This is the most surprising thing. Everybody's leading his life as if death is not going to come. But Prabhupada says sadhu means he leads his life in such a way he thinks next moment I'm going to die. If we lead our life like that, then we won't have any problem. We're thinking, oh, next moment I'm going to die. Then why I should do this nonsense thing? I will do some spiritual thing. So that one we know. But in some of the questions, they were yes and no questions. Some were fill-in-the-blank questions. Some were straight questions. Some were multiple-choice questions. So there's one very famous, one not so famous, but is very important for this purpose here. He asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, how can we understand who is a Brahmin? A, by his learning and knowledge of scripture. B, by his, well, first A was birth, B was learning and knowledge, and C was behavior. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he has a choice, A, B, or C, a multiple choice question. He said, by his knowledge of scripture and by his great gyan, but not necessarily we can understand that he's Brahmin. Because sometimes by having lots of knowledge, one becomes very, very puffed up. And proud. Just like I think it was, maybe it was himself, Ramanujacharya. Somehow his guru was in debt to the big pundit. And so Pandit was very puffed up that he's a big, big Pandit. Nobody can conquer him. If you can't conquer him, then you have to pay so much money. But his guru was very poor, he had no money. He became so merciless that this poor Brahmin, he's putting him in trouble. Instead of forgiving his debt, he's putting him in trouble. So Ramanuja saw that his guru's upset about something when he heard. So the next morning, when king was walking with his pundit, he stood in front of the king and he grabbed some sand from the path. He said, "Panditji, please tell me, how many grains of sand in my hand?" And Panditji was insulted. "Who is this little boy?" He's very puffed up. "Who is this little boy asking such a silly question?" And he beat him. See, no mercy. Beat this boy. And the king says, "Wait a minute. The rule and debate is if you cannot defeat, then the person has to give the answer." So then the king, he asked, how many grains of sand you have in your hand? He said, "Handful." He gave the answer, "Handful." So sometimes by having lots of knowledge, we become very, very proud. And our behavior is not proper. We're proud people create so many offenses. He said, that was B. All right, A was Janam, by birth. We have so much practical experience. Just like when I was a young devotee, all we did was Harinam. In the old days, it was nothing but Harinam. We'd go downtown in every big city of the world and just chant all day and go, come back, take some prasadam, and go nighttime. Because when I joined, there was no such thing as Mangalarti. So we used to stay out to midnight, sometimes even 2 o'clock in the morning in Hollywood. So especially we had a nice place on Hollywood Boulevard where we used to chant in the nighttime. Now in America, if chanting the names of God on the street is your religion, the police can't stop you. But if you block traffic, then they'll catch you on that one. So there was one place where the building went in like a triangle like that. So that in front of the door of this restaurant, there was a big area. So we could push people into that area and keep the sidewalk free. The police were happy. We were happy. Only that restaurant, it was named Diamond Jim. Only Diamond Jim was very unhappy. All these devotees are outside making all this noise. Now you can understand, this is a restaurant on Hollywood Boulevard. In front of the Lord, we cannot describe what was being served inside that restaurant. All we can say is, "Go Mata Ki Jai." And along with this other horrible thing, they were serving out distilled essence of rottenness. They take some grains, or some potatoes, or some hops, or some grapes, and they make them rotten. And then they distill out the essence of that rottenness. And people think it's very sophisticated to drink distilled essence of rottenness. It tastes so bad, they have to mix it with orange juice and tomato juice and so many. So this is what's going on in this restaurant. So we were there. We were with a devotee named Vishnujan. Very wonderful god brother of mine. Later he became sannyasi. That time he was brahmachari. And he used to sing so nicely. Prabhupada said he will sing his way back to Goloka. He will sing his way back to Goloka. So he would have us with our back to the street in a half circle. He said, just like Krishna's eye. Just like the eye of Krishna. And he would stand right at the end playing the mridanga. He played mridanga. He not only had tape, he had pieces of tile under the tape. Because all day long he would chant in front of Buffums in downtown LA and the nighttime in Hollywood Boulevard in front of Diamond Gyms. And he would dance on his toes, look like he was floating. And he sang so sweetly. And we even had Hollywood raga, melody for Hollywood Boulevard. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we had part B also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This was our Hollywood raga. So we would be chanting there, and devotees would be stripping magazines. That time, all we didn't have, it was early days before we had big book distribution. We were just BTGs, back to Godhead. So I was standing there, and one Indian fellow came out of the restaurant, one person from Bharat. Now I think in the old days, they used to give a slip of paper to everybody who left. In the airport, when you're leaving Delhi, they give you a piece of paper. When you meet the Hare Krishnas, this is what to say. Because I never met anybody from Bharat who didn't say the same exact words. Oh, I'm from India, I know everything. We tried to give them Bhagavad Gita or Back to God. I'm from India, I know everything. Everybody said exactly that. I think they gave them a slip of paper. So anyway, I offered him Back to Godhead. He said the same thing. I'm from India, I know everything. Then he said, see, I'm Brahmin. See? We just described what type of food is being served there, what type of drink is being served there. He's eating and drinking in this place, and he's thinking, because he's born a Brahmin, he's Brahmin. So A is out, B is out, so we're only left with C. We can understand a Brahmin by his behavior. By his behavior. This is the most important thing. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted, he made this Mayapur Vrindavan festival just so we can come learn a little bit about Indian culture, Vedic culture, and become very well behaved. Prabhupada said, just like in Russia, in the old days, they were persecuting the devotees like anything. Torturing them. So if they caught one devotee, then they would try to get him, they would torture him in various ways to make him tell about how they can find more. So one devotee, they were torturing and torturing him, and said, all right, I will tell you how you can recognize a devotee, Hare Krishna devotee. You go on the subway, and you walk through the subway, and you step on everybody's feet. That person who still smiles, he's a Vaishnava. So we can know a devotee by his behavior. So here is said, by good behavior, we can counteract the sufferings due to other living entities. So anyway, is there any questions or comments about this verse or about anything concerning Krishna consciousness? Way in the back. Send back the mic back there. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. Ramuji, there is a line in the first line that with good behavior and without enviousness we can avoid the sufferings, the one category of suffering is telling. Okay, good behavior, we can try to behave good with others, which is a conscious practice, like, okay, I must behave properly, but what about this enviousness, which is so subtle? Even if sometimes I feel, okay, I am little, at least okay, but it subtly works. It doesn't go, actually, and it works among devotees also. If it is working with other people who are not in the case Krishna consciousness, we can pray to Lord and tell that, okay, let me not get envious of them. I have that opportunity to know this Krishna consciousness. But what about those, or what about that feeling where we feel enviousness towards devotees also? Like, he or she is doing nice service, or he or she has got a flat in Vrindavan, or Mayapur, nicely staying in these type of very silly thoughts without any preparation might tell us. And how to come out of this enviousness?
It takes practice. The other verse was giving some example that was for pride. We can become free from pride by serving great devotees. But yesterday, class was very nice that if we see somebody doing better service, then we should be inspired. Actually, we can dovetail that enviousness. I know my wife told me. Everybody knows my wife. She's always doing so much service. 24 hours a day. She's complete. I'm just sitting and talking. That's all I can do. But she can do carpentry. She can do painting. She can do pottery. She's building a Tulsi house in Alachua right now. She can do anything. So one time I asked her, why are you always engaged in so much service? I don't want anybody to do more service than me. So she's dovetailing her envious nature in Krishna consciousness. So somehow or other we have to be inspired by other devotees instead of becoming envious. Take some practice. It's the same question, how do I control the mind? It takes practice. It's not going to happen overnight. We've been in this material world for millions of lifetimes. It's not that overnight we're going to become perfect. Practice makes perfect, so we're not perfect. So the nature of this material world is that if we see someone greater than us, then we become envious and criticize. If somebody's equal, then we try to fight with them. And if somebody's less than us, then we stomp on them. This is material consciousness. But spiritual consciousness means that if I see someone greater, then I try to serve him and learn from him. If I see someone equal, then we try to become friends and help each other. And if I see someone less, then I try to help them come up. This is spiritual consciousness. So we have to strive for this consciousness. And it won't happen automatically. We've been in this material world. We're here because ultimately we're envious of Krishna. He's the supreme enjoyer. Why can't I enjoy? So we'll take some practice. Actually, Prabhupada said he said even in the spiritual world there's enviousness, but Krishna is the center. That they think that, she's doing so nice service for Krishna, let me do more. We should become inspired, not become down. We should become inspired. Somebody's doing lots of service, and let me also strive to do more service. It will take practice. All right, Jigasu has this question. Yeah, this body is a tool. It's something that we utilize for our service. So we have to, just like our car, if we never take care of the car, then eventually it won't take us anywhere. Just like, I remember in Miami, we had two devotees. They were very funny. One very, very black devotee named Banasram, if anybody remembers Banasram. He was a very funny guy. And then there was Raghunath Puri. It was also a little bit of a space case. So they're driving down the freeway, and Banasa says, "Hey, Raghunath, what's that red light?" "I don't know, must be short circuit." And 10 minutes later, the engine exploded. So we have to take care of the vehicle, because it's meant to go someplace. If we spend the whole day, it's like we see some people, they're polishing their car, painting stripes on it, putting big wheels on it, you know, chrome reverse tires and wheels. But the car is meant to take you somewhere. You spend the whole day taking care of the car, then what is the use? The car is meant to take you somewhere. On the other hand, if you're like Raghunath Puri, you don't pay attention, the oil light is blinking, it's just a short circuit, then the car blows up, then your sankirtan is... So this, we have to balance giving attention to this body. Krishna has given us this vehicle, this body for our service, so we have to maintain the body, but we can't get completely over spending so much time in the body, we have to balance giving attention to this body and attention to our preaching. And ultimately, the body is just going to give us trouble, just like we see Jayapataka's body giving so much trouble. He's still just put, he's a great inspiration. It's still going on, still going on, still going on. He just doesn't stop. Especially as we get older, we have to spend more time on taking care of this body. Because it's a vehicle for our service. Old days, we could do anything. We could overeat on the Sunday feast, it didn't matter. We just go upstairs and sleep. And next day we do our service. And now if we overeat like that, it would be 2 days we're out of whack. So if there's no other questions, we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet. The great personality who's trying to teach us to behave like Vaishnavas. Shrila Prabhupada ki.